Yeah, hello.
Yeah.
Okay, there you go. All right. Okay, I got kicked off for a phone call. So a lot of this we can edit, but I had decided to give this a title of "This Is How It Is." So if you come up with anything else along the way, you can let me know. So anyway, I guess we'll start. This is our first recording, our first podcast, and we're gonna put the title of "This Is How It Is." I have my friend here with me. I'll let her introduce herself a little bit about who I am. My name is Sheila Du. I'm a health coach, and I specialize in hormones and environmental health. I'm a master herbalist, certified master herbalist, and so on. So we're trying to get this podcast together for women and just address current issues. So, Akinda, I will let you introduce yourself.
All right. So, hi, everyone. My name is Akinda. I go by the name of Brooklyn Butterfly. I am a holistic healer. I am an herbalist. I'm a Jane of many traits. We're just here creating this podcast to bring awareness to women and just people in general, I suppose, you know, on the things that are going on and what we see, and just, you know, our own philosophies based on what we see and our experiences. So, yeah.
So we have these everyday conversations where we talk about important things to us, and we never record them. And so that's what, you know, we're going to not attempt to do. That's what we're going to do. So I don't know. Where do you want to start off at?
Well, we were talking about a few things, but I guess I will just say, in these days and these times that we're currently in, is so much going on, and we have to learn how to start taking our emotions out of the situation and seeing the situation for what it really is versus what we want it to be, or versus what we thought it should be, or what we were taught that it should be. Mm-hmm. And what I'm realizing is just because we were taught something all of our lives don't make it true. But what has happened is out of repetitive, you know, just doing things every day, day in and day out, you know, it becomes a part of us. So now that you're being faced with the reality that everything that you've been taught is a lie, it's almost as if your whole life was a lie, because you've grown to be this person based on the things that you were taught. That's become your repetitious experience day in and day out. So much so that you've convinced yourself that you are the body, you know, and you are not the body. I'm Akinda Smith, right? But I'm not Akinda Smith. I could have chosen to be a million things in this world. But this person, through my experiences, this is the person that I've created, you know, the person known as Akinda Smith. But it doesn't define, you know, all that I am and all that I can be, you know? So our way of thinking is so limited that, you know, it's put us in a state of perpetual fear. A lot of us don't trust ourselves anymore, you know, so much so that we're going outside of ourselves rather than sitting with ourselves and finding the truth within, you know. And I was just speaking to Sheila, and I was telling her, you know, a lot of what we're going through right now, through this evolution, this is a really powerful time. But right now, we need to be on our faces, because Judgment Day is upon us soon, 7 years of tribulation. And we're being faced with a lot of truths that either we buried or suppressed, or we don't want to accept, or in denial about, or don't want to deal with. So we soothe ourselves with these things to make us feel good, but it's just like smoking weed or getting high or drinking. You know, once the effects of that wear off, the issue is still there. It's not going to go anywhere. You know, so I don't care how much cake you eat to soothe yourself, how much chocolate, how much sex you have, you know, all these things. You know, you're seeking pleasure, but there's no growth in pleasure in many cases, you know, because that puts you in your comfort zone, and you can't grow inside of your comfort zone. We've become, you know, comfortable in our own complacency. That's not good.
But, you know, okay, so we have all of these things that are programmed in us, and we was talking earlier that there are survival techniques at some point, and then we get to, you know, well, today is my birthday, I'm 58, and we get to 58 years old and we find out that those things are not necessary anymore. It's like, how do you, so I guess we were saying that you fight and you struggle to try to change those things, if you even have any awareness or knowledge that they don't work for you anymore. You know, so it's like, how do we change and go to the next level? You know, because the skills that I had, even survival skills that I had from even 2 years ago, they no longer work for me, you know, in the time in my life that I'm at. You know, so how are we gonna change that?
Oh, that's a good question, but it's not easy, right? First of all, you have to acknowledge that there's an issue. The first step to change is acknowledging that an issue exists that needs to be changed. That's the first step. So you got to come out of denial. You got to be honest with yourself about a lot of things that you don't want to deal with. You know, and then the second thing is wanting to change, because just because you know you need to change don't mean you're going to. That's like saying, when you know better, you do better. Not all the time.
Right.
A lot of people do a lot of things that they know they're not supposed to be doing. Because why? They get some type of pleasure or enjoyment out of it somehow, whether it's sadistically or not. You know, they get some type of pleasure out of it. So the issue is, we have to die the flesh. And that is the hardest thing to do. You understand me? This flesh is weak, and we don't want to feel uncomfortable. You know, we don't want to go through the pain of divorcing these traumas that we become so attached to. We become addicted to our own pain, you know? And so now you're going to have to, you know, crack this habit. You're going to have to, you know, kick this bad habit. It's like a drug. And you've been doing it for so long that you don't even realize you got it, because it's become a part of you, like an appendage. You feel me? You can't separate yourself from it. But you know that there's something bigger, something stronger, something deeper inside of you that is stronger than your flesh.
Right.
And you're going to have to go inside and find that inner strength, that inner being. You're going to have to connect to that God, to that spirit within you. You understand me? God said, thou shalt put no other gods before me. Self-preservation is the first law of nature. If you can't, a drowning man can't save nobody. So if I can't save myself, how the hell am I supposed to save you?
Right. So anyway, back to, again, what we was talking about earlier, not on here, but just amongst ourselves. Wow, did I lose my train of thought? We were talking about supporting one another as women. I feel like women stop talking, you know? And so if we can't share with each other, how to become better. You know, what's the best way to get us as women sharing again, just from relationships to health to self-care? You know, we're not talking, we're not having conversations amongst each other, you know, which would not only elevate us, but fast forward us in our life, our health, well, health, wealth, you know, relationships. How do you think we can get back to that point?
We have to first, you know, recognize and understand our truth, because your power lies in your truth. But the only way you can find that is through your vulnerability. There's power in vulnerability. You know, there's power in that pain. That's number one. You got to do that for self. And the second thing is, as women, you are your sister's keeper. You understand me? That's the way it used to be. Women were united back in the day. Women are so divided. Everybody is competing with each other, trying to get the bag, be the bad bitch. You understand me? That you've forgotten the simple principles, the laws of nature. Mm-hmm. You think that you are above the fucking law. Excuse my diction, but you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You are not. Mm-hmm. And you become so conditioned to, and you've conformed to the laws of man that you've forgotten the laws of God, that you've forgotten the laws of nature. So you are out of alignment with nature. You are out of alignment with yourself, and that's why you can't be in alignment with your sister.
Mm-hmm.
So you're competing against each other, like I said. You understand me? And, you know, my daughter used to say to me, you know, I think it was my daughter, I'm not sure, but somebody said to me, one of the things that they liked about the 90s is, as women and as men, everybody was their own individual. You understand
right.
me?
Yeah.
Everybody
yeah, yeah.
was comfortable in their own skin. Nobody was trying to be like the next person.
Mm-hmm.
We stood firm and solid in our individuality.
Mm-hmm.
Because that was how we were able, everybody had something to bring to the table. But if we all bring in the same thing to the table, then what the hell, what are we supposed to be doing? What are we doing?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know? When you stand in your own truth, you know, there's a uniqueness about you, something special that don't nobody else got. I don't care if I give you the recipe, you don't got my sauce, sis.
Mm-hmm.
You feel me?
Mm-hmm.
So this is what it is. We have to get to that point. And you know, it's gonna, when you do that, when you make the choice to face yourself, you're breaking generational curses.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? Because these are traumas. A lot of the traumas that we carry don't even belong to us. A lot of them came from our mothers that was passed down to us, from our grandmothers and our great. You understand me? Their pain stands on our back. We carry it. Even if you don't realize it, we've got a lot of habits, a lot of learned behavior, and a lot of, you know, intuitive things about us that don't even belong to us. And I say that because, let me give you an example. My grandmother, peace be upon her, she passed away in April. And she asked me a few years ago, you know, like, Akinda, what are you doing these days? You know, whatever. And I was like, oh, grandma, I'm an herbalist. You know, she said, a what? Herbalist. You know, I make herbal medicine from, you know, from herbs and stuff like that. And she said, how long you been doing that? And I said, it's something that I taught myself, you know. I said, you know, so I'm studying it, you know. She said, oh, she said, well, you know, your great-grandmother and your great-great-grandmother used to go out in the woods, and whenever they needed medicine, they would go out there and cut it off the trees and make medicine. You see, so that's something that's just in me. I didn't know that. But if I didn't have that conversation with her, I wouldn't have never known. I really did. I just thought in my mind, what would my grandmother have done? What would my grandmother do? Because we've gotten out of the old ways of doing things. You know, with modern technology and things like that, it's created a separation in the people. You know, somehow, some way, there's a disconnect. connect, you know, and, you know, because of that is a lot of the old traditions, you know, we've abandoned. And the one thing about cultures and different religions, I mean, not different religions, but different cultures, different ethnicities and nationalities, is, and more often than not, a lot of them have kept the same culture and traditions over the years. That's how they remain and stay strong.
Right? I see that with my
but
husband.
As a culture, right, exactly. And I'm not saying it applies to everyone, but in my experience and in my observation, you know, looking at the people around me and in my environment throughout life, a lot of people don't have any of those traditions anymore. You understand me? So they wishy-washy. You know, they there's no solid foundation. They're standing on sinking sand. You feel me? You know, on sinking ground. You can't build a solid structure like that. Yeah. You know? So, you know, we have to get back to the old ways. You know, if you all's grandparents and parents and great grands are still alive, y'all need to have the conversation while the information is still there.
Unfortunately, though, you know, we're the last of that generation. So, you know, things that, you know, our grandparents, even our parents had to offer, you know, that's been lost, you know. So, I don't...
Well, you're the last generation if you decide that you're the last generation. If you were able to get that information from your elders, then, you know, you don't have to be the last generation. You pass it down to the next
right.
one.
But what I'm saying is that there's like, for instance, there's women that are our age and they don't know how to cook. Something as simple as that, you know? So... it's like certain things they didn't get the information, so it's almost lost forever, you know. That's right. Like, for instance, right. You know, I know how to cook the things that my mom cooked, you know. She learned that from her mother, you know. So it's a generational thing. Now when it came to my daughter learning how to cook, you know, she's not interested, so she doesn't have that. So when it comes to her daughter learning how to cook what me, my mom, and my grandma cook, you know, that's just lost. You can't get that back.
Right.
You know, like I said, well, you know, my grandparents was farmers, you know. I have not actually worked a full farm by myself, but, you know, I know how to grow food. You know, I know how to grow fruits and vegetables, and, you know, I've had gardens. And as simple as that sounds, I wasn't able to pass that on to my daughter. You know, now the boys are a little bit different because they had grandparents on both sides, so they know about gardening, you know. So if they had to survive, they could garden. You know, their grandparents were big fishers, you know, so they know how to go get a fishing pole and fish for themselves. They know how to cook for themselves. They know what it is to grow a garden, you know, where my daughter, that information didn't, you know, go on to her. Like, she wasn't interested. And we have a whole bunch of, you know, we have a whole society out here of children who have no values, you know, that haven't been passed down to them. So, I mean, I guess we have to learn from others. That's where the community comes in at, you know?
Right. You are your sister's keeper. Back in the day, when I was coming up, I'm born in Brooklyn, but I also went to school in Virginia. And my grandma, you already know this story, but my grandparents also had a farm. You know, and so that's just something that we have to get back to again. Like you said, a lost art. That's something that's just supposed to be instilled in us. That's how you sustain yourself. If you don't know how to you know, grow your own food. You leave your, you render yourself powerless against this system if and or when it collapses. You have to at least be able to feed yourself. If nothing else, you can go without food for 3 days, but you can't go without water. So, you know, but what I was about to say was, you know, in our own, you know, journey to self-awareness, we have to realize that these are the things that made us women. You know, those were tools. And, you know, back in the day, and not even back in the day, because when I look at, you know, Latino, Mexican cultures, they still do it to this day, right? Whereas the boys, the men, they take the little boys out with them. I don't care sometimes if they're 2 years old with them to work, you know, and if they're building something, you know, it may be what we would so-called consider dangerous, but, you know, if that child can't do nothing but hold the hammer, then that's what that child is going to do. You know, train them up in the way they should go. Yeah. You know, from when we were little girls, we were sitting on the counter with our grannies and with our mothers stirring, you know, the pancake mix or, you know, scrambling the eggs. They were teaching us what we needed to do. We had chores, you understand me, to keep the house clean and tidy, you know, Saturday music, you know, in the mornings, you know, while you're cleaning up. Things like that are important. You know, I'm not saying that it was a better way of living, because at that time, I don't think I wanted to clean up and do chores, but I knew it was something that I had to do. You understand me? So as I grew up, it's something that I came to appreciate. But then I realized a lot of females were not raised like
me. No.
We are not the same.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. Those values are timeless. You understand me? That was how you got a man back in the day. If you knew how to keep a clean house, a clean body, you know, you knew how to cook.
Yeah.
You had a husband, honey.
Yeah.
You know, and if you wasn't out there, if you wasn't afraid to go out there and put in some sweat equity, you know, help them in that garden or building that shed or whatever the case. When that brought more value to who you were. Right.
Yeah.
You know, and it also taught you as a woman how to be self-sufficient. My mother used to always tell me, make sure I learn how to do a little bit of everything, because a man is not guaranteed to always be in my life. But the females out here now, all they want to be is a bad bitch, and they want to get a man to take care of them. But what about when a man is not available to take care of them? What are you going to do for yourself,
sis? Yeah.
You have to empower yourself. That's nobody else's responsibility but your own. And the same thing applies to men. There's a lot of dudes out here who are alpha males, but they act like betas.
Yeah, wow. Me and my son was talking about that. That's unfortunate, because we're really going downhill.
You understand me? And a woman can never respect a beta male, because if he can't take care of himself, he can't take care of her. If he don't have a plan for himself, he don't have a plan for you. I don't care how much you think you love somebody.
Right. Yeah.
You got to love yourself enough to empower yourself. And when I speak to you, I'm speaking to myself. I'm not the exception to the rule. It applies to me too. But I'm not just preaching. I literally try to take my own advice.
Right. Yeah, you have to, because that's a part of self-awareness, you know, taking your advice.
You know, because if I, listen, in doing so, look, you have to be able to hold yourself accountable for your own bullshit. Like, come on, you got to stop. You got to stop walking around here acting like you are not the problem.
The
and like the victim is everybody else's fault. You have to stop that. You understand me? The best thing you can do for yourself is to take a look at yourself and strip everything away.
Right.
You understand me? And learn your flaws. Learn your weaknesses. Know where it came from. Realize that some of those things are, you know, those traumatic experiences, some of them are prenatal. You know, babies can hear stuff when they're in the womb. They feel what you feel. You understand me? You're carrying around a lot, and a lot of it you are disconnected to, But, you know, what happens is when you don't deal with these issues, they show up in different bodies because you never dealt with the issue to begin with.
They show up mainly in relationships or dealing with other people, you know?
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Why do that thing always happen to you? You understand me? If you can't keep going around saying this person did this to me and this person did this to me when you are the common denominator.
Well, come on now, you gotta stop it.
I can
speak to that in relationships, you know, that, but that would be a whole nother podcast, part one, two, and probably three. You know, we could make a whole episode out of that. But so the other thing, because we're both into health, one of the things that I don't want to say that they upset me, but you know how, again, women are not having the conversations. And for me, the biggest thing is with menopause, you know, how we as women are not talking to each other. And so when it comes to menopause, which is definitely, I don't want to say an end phase of life, I guess I should say it's a beginning phase of life, because it's something that you have to deal with all over again, you know, just like when we started out, you know, having kids and so on. You know, I'm trying to find out, well, this is one of the things that both of us do, you know, we're trying to make awareness to health in general, but like I said, my area of expertise is with dealing with hormones. And there's a lot of things that come with menopause. A lot of women, you know, they lose their mind during menopause because so many things happen at one time. You basically crash and burn, so you end up with severe anxiety, you know, severe mood swings, you have the weight gain, you know. I'm just trying to figure out how we can have how we can have these conversations, how we can, you know, support women during that time, you know, as well. So,
well, I think one thing that we are already doing is when we have clients, you know, you do assessments and then you create a formula for them, and then I put the formulation together, you know, based on whatever it is that they're going through at that time. But the issue is if they're committed enough to themselves to see it through, and with the understanding that they may not see results in a week, you know, because we don't know how severe their condition is, but it takes time. But they have to be committed to the process.
Well, definitely when you're dealing with, you know, herbs and my thing is supplements. You know, when you're dealing with herbs or supplements, it does take time. It could take months, you know, so that's
right. Exactly.
You know, part of the that's part of the dedication and commitment to yourself and to healing and getting yourself back on track to where, you know, you can be, you know, and should be.
Another thing is, you know, speaking back to when I was with my grandparents, a lot of times when the women in our community were sick or ill, or we called them the sick and shut-in back in the day, my grandmother used to cook for them. I don't know whether this is something that they planned or that they discussed. But I do know, you know, she would cook for them. She would make a cake or pie for them, you know, and she would go sit with them from time to time. And they would just talk about life, you know, what they were going through. And just like how you and I are having this conversation, they would do the same thing, you know. And, you know, who knows, you know. Somebody may know somebody, or somebody may know of something, you know. Word of mouth is free advertisement, honey. You know, so as copper colored, you know, brown skinned women, I think that it's important that we support one another. You know, there are a lot of women out here now who are stepping into their power and you know, who are trying to do their part. Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, as a community, this is like how the Black Panthers did, or how Sister Wives do. Every woman has a role, you know. Somebody has something to bring to the table, you know. And I don't care how minute you may think it is, it may be very well, it may be needed. I think that, you know, we need to start creating these safe spaces for women to be able to come and to be able to express themselves, to be able to support one another. You know, there's a lot of healing that can be done when you do that. You know, and remember, a nation can grow no higher than its women. If the women are suppressed, then the whole nation is suppressed until the women rise. So there's a lot of healing that we have to do. You know, so I definitely, in my opinion, I'm just speaking for myself, I welcome women that want to, you know, come and step into their power and be a part of something that's bigger than themselves. No ego, you know, but something that is bigger than themselves, because they know that they came here with a purpose, you know, because the moment you decide to step into your power and, you know, other women come together, you understand there's strength in numbers. And like the cliche goes, you know, united we stand, but divided we fall. They can't beat you if it's millions of you that are standing together for the same common cause of healing the nation. Mm-hmm. It's all about healing the nation, mm-hmm. mentally, emotionally, physically, spiritually. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of healing that goes on, because that has to go on, because when you heal, believe it or not, your children are watching mm-hmm. You know? And then they start picking up little things. They start asking questions. Mm-hmm. You understand me? And then you get to pass it on to them. So each one change a million. Mm-hmm. I mean, each one teach a million. That's what I mm-hmm. say. Not each one teach one. Mm-hmm. Because when you know something, you spread that knowledge to the next man, and to the next man, and so on and so mm-hmm. forth. But it's got to start with you, and you got to start somewhere. Mm-hmm. You can't be afraid to take a chance on yourself, and boy, am I speaking to myself. And I'm going to be quiet.
You know, but I mean, I hear what you're saying, but I'm not afraid to take a chance. But sometimes the chances that I take, you know, wow. You know, they're not always the right ones, you know.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, I agree. I've taken many chances, but I'm talking about taking. At least you've been courageous enough to take that leap of faith, and that's really what it is. Like, where does your faith lie? You know, you have to believe in yourself more than anything. You know, that's the thing about children. You know, the innocence that comes with children, mm-hmm. you know, no matter what you tell them, if they think that they can fly, they think that they can fly, honey. There's nothing that you can tell them, you know. And they, you know, when you're allowed to be a child, you know, you can get lost in your imagination. Mm-hmm. And so what I do is I think back to that little girl. This is how, you know, you heal, in my opinion, the child, mm-hmm. right? The wounded child, right? I look now back at myself, mm-hmm. and I remember all those times when I felt unprotected, when I felt violated, mm-hmm. when I felt disrespected, mm-hmm. you know, and I remember how I felt powerless. Mm-hmm. Even as adults, right? Because remember, if you don't heal the trauma from the jump, so that it doesn't become a trauma, it will continue to repeat itself.
It stays. Yeah.
You see what I'm saying? So, but what I do is I look at that little girl, you know, and I see the situation. And sometimes I might cry for her, and sometimes I don't, because, you know, and more often than not, it just is what it is, right? It happens. But everything that happens to us had to happen to make us who we are, or who we are becoming. Mm-hmm. You know, I don't care whether it's a so-called good thing or a bad thing, mm-hmm. you know, but I look at her and I look at all that I've come through up until this point right now. Mm-hmm. And I say, God has never forsaken me because I am still here. Mm-hmm. I've come through it mm-hmm. all. No matter what I had to do to go through a year, you know, luckily for me, I've never had to do like something so, so bad that I regret it. I've experienced life. I'm sure a lot of us right. have, okay? Yeah. But I don't live with regret. Right. That's something that I don't mm-hmm. do. You mm-hmm. know, I realized everything is an experience and everything had to happen for a mm-hmm. reason. You know, every heartbreak, you know, whether it was my parents or, you know, my partners, my best friends, it doesn't matter. All of those scenarios, all those relationships, you know, created this person here, you know, but you have to be able to see that, but then still separate yourself from it. The issue that we have is that we are attached to every single thing. Mm-hmm. We are attached to every infraction, every pain, everything that's ever happened to us. You can't step outside of yourself and be able to say, okay, that happened. You know, I can kind of, you know, based on what I know now of the situation, I can see kind of how that happened. Whether, I don't care how fucked up it was. It happened though. You understand me? And you don't know the state of mind of other people. You don't know the circumstances of other people, why people do the things that they do, because you don't know why you do what you do. You understand me? So stop, you know, trying to, you know, like hold on to this thing. It's not a thing. It's only a thing when you make it a thing. It's only a thing right. when you make it a right. thing.
Yeah.
You know, you sitting here and you still mad 40 years later because somebody stole your bike. Get the stop
yeah,
it.
Yeah, that's still stop yeah, that it. Still kind of hurt me when I was a little girl. I had a tricycle. You know what? And yeah, I had this tricycle. It's called PF Flyer. And somebody stole it. I don't remember. I was such a little girl, you know. And mm-hmm. my father, he recovered it. You know, my father used to recover mm-hmm. bikes and cars and everything else when, you know, back in New Jersey when they would steal a car. My father would always find it. But anyway, he got my bicycle. But mm-hmm. to this day, I still have the fascination with a tricycle. You know, they have the adult tricycle. So
I'm trying to keep
myself from purchasing one because, you know, that I tell myself that's my form of exercise. But that's probably a childhood trauma, too.
But you could remember, you can turn that trauma, you know, into something beautiful. Maybe you should get that tricycle. I'm just saying, you know, like with, you know, I think that what happened was is when we became an adult, we became so serious, you know, that we detached ourselves from our imagination, from that thing that made us feel good.
Yeah. Well,
you know, because we had to be serious all of the time now, because you're an adult.
Yeah, well, mine was a little bit different becoming an adult, because my mother, you know, and you probably heard this story before, it's kind of funny, you know, my mother, she created my world, you know. I had a baby doll, her name was Tangie Lee. I had a baby doll who had everything that I had. You know, if my mother even went to the point, I believe, of sewing shoes for this doll. So if I had a nightgown, she had a nightgown. If I had a hat, she had the hat. You know, she had the high chair, everything. So I say that to say that for me, coming up as a young girl, I had no imagination, you know? And so my imagination came when I think I was about early 40s at 42. I tried to create being an avatar. You know, the movie Avatar came out. And so I tried to create mm-hmm. being that blue character because I love blue, you know? So I always refer to myself, even at this point in life, as being a toddler because I'm always, you know, creating something, whether it's right or wrong. but you know, I'm always imagining things even as an adult because I sort of was slighted as a child.
I had a vivid imagination. The beauty about being raised in the country on a farm was one, I'm the first child for 5 years. So, you know, a lot of my time was spent by myself. And where we lived at, we didn't have, like, our neighbors lived kind of far. You know, so I kind of grew up as an only child. So, like, the animals, our pigs, the chickens, the cow, and our horses were my friends. The trees were my friends. You know, I would make mud pies and torture grasshoppers or whatever. But, you know, I was allowed to be a child, right? But the moment I got to the city, when I would go stay with my mother, I had to grow up really fast because it's a fast-paced environment, you know? So luckily, I still was able to go back to those pieces of me, you know, when I was in Virginia. You know, I think that for me, it was what made me solid. You know, that was like home base for me. And I learned a lot of fundamental things there, you know, with my grandparents. And when it, as it pertains to like how to love people, you know, how to, you know, respect the planet and little things like that. It may, people may, you know, roll their eyes up in the air now about things like that. But I'm going to tell you, if you're not in alignment with the seasons like the animals are, then, you know, you create your own misery.
Yeah, health-wise, you can't, you know, be in alignment with yourself. Like, for instance, this time of year as an older woman, you know, you have to know what's going on. You know, every time, like between probably October to December, I would find myself in the hospital where my back is locked up, you know? So now as simple as me knowing, okay, the seasons are changing. I have to keep socks on my feet. I have to keep, you know, a thin shirt to my back so that the air is not directly affecting me and locking my back up, you know? So,
yeah,
you know, health-wise, you have to be, and you have to know, you know, when allergy season is coming. You have to know when you know, mold is coming out, because these all affect, you know, upper respiratory. They affect people, you know. So you do have to know and be in alignment with the season, you know.
Yeah, because before there was time, there was seasons. There was no such thing. Time is a man-made construct. Animals don't work on time. They work with they work around the season.
Right. Yeah.
You see, they know when to hunt, they know when to gather, you know, in the fall, you know, to start putting their nests together because, you know, it's about to be winter, you know, so they start harvesting their nuts or whatever it is that they need to do. You know, us on the other hand, we're not, unless we're one of those people that's like living in the mountains or in the woods or, you know, practice feng shui or any of those things that keep you in alignment. A lot of us are just simply not in alignment.
Right.
You know, like speaking of the colder months, you know, right now the fall is the time for the liver.
Mm-hmm.
You understand? This is the time when you need to be focusing on strengthening and cleansing your liver during the fall, because in the winter time, that rules the kidneys. Mm-hmm. You know, because kidneys represent water, and so does winter represents water. And your back probably will hurt because the kidneys don't like to be cold.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see, they like to stay warm. You have to keep them warm.
Oh, that's probably where back issues come in.
Yeah, exactly. Mm-hmm. And then also, we're not in the sun in the fall and winter. That's when the sun is on the other side. So now we're not getting that vitamin D. We're not getting the information or the nutrients from the sun. Which depletes us and makes us weak.
Yeah, I think because of the ozone thing and pollution, you know, overall, we're not getting vitamin D at all like we should, you know.
Right.
There's
exactly.
So many people that's deficient, you know, in vitamin D, you know, because that was a part of the testing, on that. And so the results that will come back would be 98% of the people had a deficiency in D. So I don't think that, right, you know, our environment allows us to get natural D. You know?
Yeah, yep. And so, you know, that's where supplements come in. That's where you would come in,
yeah,
you know, because now you know the things that, you know, that we're lacking due to not being in alignment, you know, and the symptoms that we begin to, you know, have based on seasons and things like that. So, you know, all these things are important. And, you know, that's why I said everybody has a role to play, mm-hmm, you know, because every single thing in this universe, everything that's natural in this universe is connected. Mm-hmm. Every single thing, mm-hmm, in this universe that is natural to the universe is connected. Mm-hmm. There's no separation. You know, even if you don't understand it, there's still a connection. Mm-hmm. You know, we pay for every fish that we take out the water because the ecosystem, we have severely messed up the ecosystem. Mm-hmm. You know, based on our own ignorance and negligence. Yeah. It's just really that simple. I can't sugarcoat, mm-hmm, it, you know, because we don't know any better. A lot of people don't know any, mm-hmm, better, you know. And then when they get in environments like, you know, the country where it is quiet and there's nothing, you know, and you have to sit in your silence, it makes people very uncomfortable.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't like to sit in silence. They don't like to hear their thoughts.
Mm.
You know, a lot of people are running from their reality, trying to self-medicate, whether it's drinking their problems away or smoking. Or, like I said earlier, I don't want to be repetitious, but, you know, we drown our sorrows or our insecurities or daddy issues or whatever the case may be in all different types of vices. Mm. You know, and, you know, a lot of times we walk around here and we walk around with this anger, with this pain based on the relationships that we have and the experiences we've had through those relationships. But this is how I'm going to try to put it. I hope I flow right. But, you know, when I look at my life, you know, I know that a lot of things that I've witnessed, you know, I witnessed in my formative years, you know, and in my teenage years and my childhood years, you know, you start remembering these things, you know, and the one common person I can remember is my mother, you know, and I remember our relationship, you know, whether it was good or bad, I remember it, you know, and there were times when we got along really well and there were times when we really don't. But I think that's almost everyone. That's not so uncommon, you know. But then, you know, looking back now, because I wasn't thinking about that then, but looking at that now, you know, my mother had a mother, you know what I mean? And they had their relationship and they had their issues and so on and so forth. And I say all that to say, you know, a lot of times, you know, we have these experiences, you know, and we don't realize that a lot of times our parents, they were just teaching us what they had been taught, you know, and they would, you know, those people before them taught them what they were taught and the great race and the great and so on and so forth, you know. So a lot of times after a certain period of time, everything that we did was about survival, everything. You know, and if you didn't have a strong community, a strong family, you know, you wouldn't make it. You wouldn't do well. I'll say that. You wouldn't do well, you know. And so when we have these experiences with people, we take everything so personal when we don't know what the other person's experience is or was. And if we knew each other better, you know, and we took time with one another and started to really try to learn and understand one another, you know, a lot of people a lot of people are going through the same thing. A lot of people have experienced the same thing, you know? So clearly they will understand each other better. But we won't know these things until we take the opportunity to actually listen, you know? Because if not, we keep getting in relationships and these, and, you know, meeting these people who have these deep-seated issues, and then all you want to do is complain about it, but you don't understand their story. Everybody has a story.
Right.
Everybody. You know, so you don't know what their situation was or how it is that they, and I'm not saying it was right, I'm not saying it was wrong, but it's their experience. And the one thing you can't deny a person is their experience.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, whether you agree with it or not, it's still their experience.
Yeah.
So, you know, be mature enough to be able to agree to disagree. But no, we still got to put in this work because we got things to do. Set them feelings aside. You understand? We practice logic over emotions because you being in your feelings is not going to get us this land that we're trying to get.
Mm-hmm.
You understand me? Like, you got to really see life for what it really is and what life is trying to tell you, and you have to find your tribe because there's still a lot of work that needs to be done. I can't stress that enough. I can't.
Well, let's see. We are almost an hour. I don't know how much more we can continue talking to the point where people would listen. We know that we will listen to each other because we've been doing it for a while.
Right.
So,
right.
I guess. But
no, it's good. It feels good. Mm-hmm. You know, and I'm certain that, you know, the things that we are talking about, people can relate to.
Definitely. Yeah. If they can't, we can. And like you were saying earlier, you know, there's a timing for everything. Might not be now, you know. And that's why podcasts are good, because anybody that wants to hear something pertaining to their situation, you can always go in the library and pull it up.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, I'm going to go do some things. So I guess we're going to end the podcast, and then I'm going to go on to the next phase of editing. And I think we did pretty good. It shouldn't be too much to edit.
Okay.
I guess we'll try to do this at least every week. You know.
Sounds all right to me.
You know. All right. Well, thank you for being a part of us.
and thank you for having me as always.
Okay. And you know, I guess in the comment section, we'll put more information down as to, you know, what we do. And I guess in the future I want to do more health related issues, because, you know, that's my passion. You know, especially with everything that's going on with COVID, you know, doing some immunity things and you know, building up the immune system. I'm doing immune modulating therapy now, and we'll talk about that more. But I'm just really getting prepared for, you know, the winter, and I know that you are too. I know that you have different tinctures and blends and herbs and, you know, things. And so we'll, I guess in the next podcast we'll talk about that more.
All right, that sounds good to me. If you all have any questions, you know, once we put out information in the description or what have you, you know, feel free to reach out to us.
Comments, be nice with your comments, because we won't entertain anything other than
absolutely
that.
Absolutely not.
Respectful. That's what we're trying to promote. We're trying to build a community of where people can talk effectively. So if you have comments, you know, make sure that they're ones that we can answer and ones that we don't have to block. So this is September 18th at 4:01, and this is how it is. And we'll see you on the next podcast.
And happy, happy solo return to you, sis.
Thank you very much.
All right. Have a good one.
You too. Bye-bye.
Okay.